Finishing up some notes from last week, and so I'm going to review a little bit. We've been in the Habakkuk and now Zephaniah. The Old Testament's interesting. You need the Old Testament. There's just no doubt about it. As God's speaking to Israel, He's also relaying a warning to the rest of the world also. So before I get started, I've been interrupted by Ray Mills as usual. Yesterday he wore this Michigan thing. It just looked nasty, you know, didn't it? Would you pray and take up an offering? Go, buddy.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done. Pray that Jesus bless this offering from the Sunday school hour. I pray that you help us to keep on learning more about you. Pray that we can serve you and bless each one that's here, and pray that you watch over the ones that have been sick and hurt, and Lord, I pray that you heal them up and bring them back.
Amen. Zephaniah 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. This is coming from a prophet given to it by God. It's still a little loud, brother. Anyway, last week we finished, we were in verses 7 through 18. Verse 2, I will utterly consume. Verse 3, I will consume man. And beast, and I will consume. We saw the word consume through those. In verse number 4, as we look there, you have some names come up. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this is his called out ones, his separated ones. The Jew is God's people, and God's still not done with them. Any man that stands in the pulpit and tells you that the church is a substitute of Israel is a liar. He's a heretic. That's not what the Bible says. God is not done with Israel. And we find that in a lot of independent Baptist churches even. Fellas that don't rightly divide the Word of God. They don't rightly study. And most of the time, they're not studying anyway. Most of the fellas that got those kind of things wrong are listening to a buddy or reading a book other than the Bible itself. I've been asked so many times, hey, what book do I read on this, or what book do I read on that? If you're in the book of Genesis, you ought to read Matthew. If you're in the book of Genesis, you ought to read Isaiah. Remember, the other 65 books help you understand the book that you're in, the chapter that you're in. Now, the problem is we're lazy. We don't study like we should. We get to a word that we don't understand, and some today we'll get out a dictionary. I mean, this is written in English, so you get a dictionary out and try to understand what that word means. There's a lot of words that we've noticed in Galatians, the word disannul. Man, what a strong word that is to make void, to throw. Basically, it's throwing away. And Christian, if you're not careful, you will throw away a lot of the Word of God. I hope there's one thing that you've got over the years is you've got to study the book. This one, this Bible, this King James Bible and nothing else. Now, how much time? Well, how much time have you got? Now, a lot of times we'll plan for this appointment, that appointment, groceries, this and that. But I was thinking yesterday for a couple hours, we had a little bit of a get-together. And when was the last time you spent 2 hours in the Word? Solid. When was the last time you even spent 10 minutes in it? Solid. So when you begin to look at the Word of God, those ideas and thoughts, they get demolished. And you have to admit, well, I was wrong in that area. All right, Lord, set me straight. What am I not seeing? Luke 17, we'll preach from this morning in the first couple of verses. Lord, what is going on here? What is going on here? And I was out on the mower and, I see what's going on. Okay. In order to understand Luke 17, 1 and 2, I got to go back to Luke 16. And a lot of times that's how our study is. Or you can look forward in Luke 17 or even 18 to find out where you're at. Our problem is, we have so many other things that get in the way. We'll have a phone call happen. Have a text happen. For those of you who like the text, and I won't name any names, if I say something, you don't have to come back with okay. It's a given. I tell you, I know this is a mute point, but sometimes we feel like we have to give an answer or state something that's already given. So what has happened there? You've taken time off. The Bible is very clear about redeeming the time. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste any time. And of all people, I get that away. I'll waste time. I'll go lay flat in my bed. My back's bothering me. It's just, you know, tight and tired as I'm coming back. And I'll just go lay flat for an hour and a half. And what do? I'll go to, there's the Cubs. How'd they do last night? Or, oh, there's the Tigers. I got to watch the highlights or things like that. And I'm just wasting time. I often wonder how much work Bible time am I getting? We prioritize. So the Word of God is so important. We already knew this. But here in Zephaniah, especially chapter 1, we're seeing the foolish rejectors of God. Believer, if you're not careful, you will be a rejecter of the Word of God. Rather than a receiver. Rather than taking it in and being a sponge. A dry sponge needing some water. Most of the time, we show up in the Word of God as a sponge that's already full. Well, you can't fill something that's already full. What don't I understand? What do I need here, Lord? What? And every time you come to a message, and this is hard for me to do, especially when the preacher is so boring. Oh my, have we all ever been in those services? Well, the Lord Jesus arose again. There ought to be a passion about it. There ought to be some kind of fire in a preacher's belly. Well, that's not his personality. Hogwash. The Bible creates a personality. The Bible gives you fire. The Bible gives you, and you see that just in the wording that it uses in chapters 1 or verses 2 and 3 of this chapter. Consume, consume. And then he mentions in verse 4, I will also stretch out my hand upon it. Well, I don't know about y'all, but this is not a loving hug. This is a smack in the back of the head. Now, here in verse number 4, even so much as it's a good old-fashioned whooping. And God will do that to his children. God will do that. And he's righteous in it. In verse number 4, we see toward the end there, let me just read all verse 4 so you can get this. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. The idolaters. The more you study, the more you look into the Word of God, it seems like you start finding things that can become idols to you if you're not careful. We all have that. When folks crochet or sew, can that get in the way? Sports, can that get in the way? I've seen a lot of different things and been around fellas that don't want to talk about the Word, but they want to talk about this and that. And I love my favorite baseball player. I love my favorite football team. I love this. I love those things. Right now, the PGA is going on. It's a major title. And, boy, they've set that course up really hard. And those fellas are struggling on that course. Somebody asked me the other day, what would you shoot on it? I said, well, I'm hoping I'd break 100. Those courses are just super hard. And the greens are as fast as the linoleum that's in your house. So if you can imagine putting on linoleum or even getting a ball to stop on the linoleum. So a lot of things can get in our way. Clothing can become a problem. And he even mentions that in this passage. But in this verse, to finish up verse number 4, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Kimarims with the priests. I mentioned to you that these Kimarims, these are those that dressed in black. These were priests, idol priests dressed in black. That's what the goth movement is. What do they call it? The emus, I think, or something like that. And then you get the furries, people that think they're actually animals. You know, it's in our society, we don't realize it's all wrapped up, and it is ultimately wrapped up in the worship of Lucifer, who's got a time limit. Y'all do realize that. Thank God Satan has a time limit. He's temporary prince and power of the air. He's temporary in charge of this world system, temporarily. And with that in mind, verse number 5, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, that astrologers. Well, what are you? I was born in August, so what does that make me? I don't know. I ain't got a clue, but they sure do. And this is your personality based on that. But what they don't take into consideration is the personality that's based on the Holy Spirit working the Word of God into it. We, a few years ago, the Chungdo Kwan Association decided to go with personalities. And are you an I? Are you an S? Are you a J? Are you a this? Are you a that? And I told Grandmaster, Senior Grandmaster, I told her, I said, this isn't scriptural. Nothing about this is scriptural. She said, what do you mean by that? This does not take into account what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can do in an individual. Well, but this is kind of a baseline. I said, no, it's not a baseline. The Word of God can. The Word of God changes you completely. How many of you true believers that are studying the Word and praying, being in the church house, how many of you noticed that in your personality a lot of changes? Amen? Some of you don't cuss as much as you used to. Some of you don't fuss as much as you used to. When people pull out in front of you, it's like, okay, well, I'll just get out of the way so you can get on your merry way. Whereas some of us would, hey, Christians have been known to flip the bird, tell everybody they're number one. Not correct? Over time, that's going to change. When a cashier gets your change wrong, how do you react to that? How do you respond to that? So the Word of God changes it. So this Kimmerim's, they had them back in the day. There's nothing new under the sun. And it seems like Lucifer has 5 or 10 little things that he does, and society will jump into it, and they'll follow just with everything they got because they're sheeple. Y'all understand the idea of it being a sheeple? I mean, we're seeing that today in great debate. 40 and 50 years ago, they wouldn't have allowed an alien to vote in our elections. Election day is called election day for a reason. It's not election month. It's not election week. But see, you have to understand, for the ideals of the deceiver to get through into a nation, they have to change the rules constantly. And the rules are constantly moving and changing. And our Constitution was based on the Word of God. Our nation was based on the Word of God. And so by that, there's a set box that it's in. Well, let's think outside the box. You know, there's some things you can think outside the box. For example, you make banana bread. Well, could we use any other fruits to make bread? Well, sure. They have fruit cakes and fruit breads and things like that. What was that? Friendship bread they used to make, babe, that we used to get the starter for? And there was different fruits and things like that in there. I know some preachers that are making a style of kombucha. Yeah, did I get that right? And whatnot. And then hey, do you have to always put kielbasa in with cooked cabbage? Now, I like that combination. But could you use a sausage pork? Could you use a sausage beef? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There's areas that we can think outside the box. I love it when a chef thinks outside the box, because generally my taste buds get real happy. But there are some sets that we cannot think out of the box, and that's what's happening in our nation, is we're seeing so many people that are deceived because they're not in the Word, and that's who's included in even in on this passage. Now, Zephaniah makes a big deal about the day of the Lord. We have the Lord's return. That's the next thing on God's calendar, no doubt about it. And the Lord Jesus is coming back. There's no doubt. I didn't think I'd make it to 50, and this year I'll be 57. With everything I'd seen with Israel and all that's going on, even now, with everything being done in China, there's going to be a lot more work with China and the U.S. And whether you like President Trump or not, he's making money for the country, which no other president's ever done. And then secondly, God's using his personality and his skills in order to bring about good and his calendar. God's calendar is the only one that's important. Our calendar is not. God sees it from a different point of view. A lot of things going on with Iran. I mean, every American ought to be thankful that finally we have a president that will not allow the terrorists of the world to have a nuclear weapon. What would happen if you had a nuclear weapon go off within 40 miles of your house? You'd die. You'd die either immediately, or you would die from radiation poison later down the road. There's a lot of things that we ought to be thankful for, and they're not. And then what people will do is they want to cry and scream because in the United States they don't want to allow illegals to vote. Well, that's the only way they can get their vote across, because American people, for the most part, are critical thinkers. Most are trying to do right by their own family and by the neighbor. You know, that's the one thing the world generally gets pretty good, is to love thy neighbor. But they forget to love the Lord thy God first. Now, here in this passage, we have a bunch of rejectors, whether the Kimmerims, the priests of Baal, them that worship the heaven upon the housetops, that's your astrologer, and them that worship, verse 5, and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. Malcolm is another name for one of their gods, and they so now they're serving two masters. And how many believers do that? How many believers will go into the church house and put a $10 or $20 bill in to make themselves feel better into the offering, show up on Sunday morning, as Pastor Charlie used to call them, smocks, Sunday morning only Christians, and with that, they think they're doing okay, and then they go off and they give an hour to God on a Sunday, 2 hours to God on a Sunday, and then the rest of the week is to the world and to the devil and to themselves. That's what happens in true Christianity even has its problems. But then again, we are flawed vessels needing the master to fix it. We're broken potsherds. We are a lot of times in the muck and mire of our own thinking, our sin definitely. So God is warning, and God is warning, and God is warning. This is mercy, and this is long-suffering. This is God's great love for his creation. And he mentions in verse 6, watch this, and them that turn back from the Lord. In the Old Testament, we see a backsliding. In the New Testament, we see a people castaways. And with that, there's so many that will do right for so long, and they know better. Listen, I don't care your cognitive ability. Even an individual who is thought of as having cognitive impropriety, and the word retarded, moronic, idiot, those are the three terms that psychologists, psychiatrists use for many years now because of PC, we use cognitive impairment. But there's a whole lot of times, Christian, if you're not in the Word, your brain will be a mess. Because it has to be your heart that's changed, and that changes your brain. That changes your thinking. If somebody swings at you, I'm going to block and say, hey, man, what's the problem? Now, if they're super vicious, I'll take them to the ground and give them the gospel. Wait on the police to get there to sort it all out. But that's the society that we live in. And if we're not careful as Christians, we'll live right along with them. If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. You have to be cautious, even us as human beings in our separation and our many things. And by the way, we have defined separation differently from what the Word of God has defined it. We ought to be careful with that. We can become so separated and whatnot that we alienate people rather than being able to be a help to them. Your nice job is not to save them, correct them, or even change them. But how many of us try to? I can hear some of them now. I can hear Brother Mike saying, I don't know about that correction thing. I'm going to correct. You need to get corrected before you go off to correcting somebody else. That's the beam and the speck idea. Now, with that in mind, these foolish are noisy. We saw that last week. And I mentioned that they sound like clowns. Boy, don't a lot of people sound like clowns today? Some of the things that they say. They have their apparel in verse number 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. No one is excluded from the condemnation and wrath of God. No one. How many, even within Israel and Judah, and the two separate nations, one, you have Israel being taken over by Assyria, then Babylon takes Israel and Judah. Judah is left for a period of time. But even within that, there's a remnant of believers. There's a remnant that still see the promise of Abraham. There's a remnant that has studied and read the writings of Moses. They see God is continuous in Genesis through Deuteronomy. They have, at this point, some of the writings of Joshua and some of the writings. So they've had all this, and they're following that. They're following the law the best they can. They're giving the sacrifices. They're doing the things. Now, this is pre-cross. Remember that. This is before the Lord Jesus in the empty tomb. Right? So what are they doing? There's a remnant of believers. There's always a remnant of believers amongst Israel. Messianic Jews, they like to call them today. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah. With that, during this time of Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, which is Iran, Greek, Roman, and then you have the Ottomans, who are Islam. By the way, Islam is not a friend to anybody. And if you don't think so, you're a fool. Matter of fact, Islam needs to be stopped in the United States, or it will be run over just like England and France and Spain and all the others that have allowed them to come in. I want you to know that one of the enemies of the Christian is definitely the Muslim. Because within their teachings, if told to, they will kill Christians, and they have no, and they won't think anything of it. Now, I'm not saying that the Crusades were right. All that was the murder of innocent women and children. And that's what happens, and that's what's a shame. So what does God say? Hey, listen, there's nobody excluded from the wrath and condemnation of God. They've got all their fancy clothing, but even fancy clothing doesn't keep you from harm. So I want to finish up this chapter, verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. God's not going to do anything about it. He's just going to leave it alone. But they're settled, first of all, first point. He's going through Jerusalem with a candle. He's having to search. Lights are out. He's going through Jerusalem and he's searching these men out. You cannot hide from the eyes of God. And nothing you do or say hides from the eyes of God. We are all rebellious, and there's some of us that live that life like being rebellious. We've all got an amount of rebellion that we live with every day. Some just like to rebel a lot more than others. And you know better. Every time we do which we know better not to do, or we don't do what we know to do, we hurt not only ourselves, but we hurt everybody in our life. Would y'all not acknowledge that? That's true, is it not? Well, then do something about it. Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Y'all listening this morning? This warning is for everyone, Christian, the Jew, the Gentile, the heathen. And by the way, Christian, yes, you are saved. Thank God for the grace and through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. There's absolutely no doubt we need that. Praise the Lord. Thank God for it. But we still are heathen. That's what God sees us as. Lord God, how do I be a true son or daughter of you? That's a tough one. And to then try to live by that. And that's evident in Bible reading, praying, church attendance, because I've seen it in my own life. Now, with that, in verse number 12, he also mentions that these men that are settled on their lees. Well, let me explain to you winemaking. In that day, our day, the word wine is alcoholic. That's the way we look at it. In the scriptures, it tells you what that type, was it alcoholic or non-alcoholic? Here, this passage, this is an alcoholic type of idea. And when they make a whiskey, when they make a wine, when they make a beer, there are sediments that float to the bottom. What are those sediments doing? Well, they're just kind of floating, easing along, going to the bottom. These are people that have that idea of live life easy. Hey, take it easy. Now, there's a point where we need to not be so anxious, upset, careful for everything rather than careful for nothing, right? The scriptures teach. So they're settled on their lees. They're taking it easy. It's all good. Now, there's some folk that live like that all the time. I need to learn how to have a balance in it. And I don't know about you. I'm not perfect. I know that shocks y'all. But a lot of these guys, and men and women both, it's all good. They look for beer 30 rather than for church 30. They look for 5 o'clock somewhere when they should have been in the church house at 10 o'clock or 9:30 somewhere. You know, some churches start at 9:30. I know churches that start at 9 a.m. Could you imagine if we started at 9 a.m. around here? Ray and Rachel would never make it on time. Now, I noticed yesterday for the party, they were a couple hours early. Hey, when I came here, you and Ray were late all the time. So don't give me that. But and everybody gets on me for being 30 minutes early to everything. I don't want to miss out on anything. And now Ray and Rachel, thank God they had a pastor to be early. Be early. I've noticed some of y'all coming in at 5 minutes too. If you're here 5 minutes early, you're late. Why not get to the church house and get an extra hug? Why not get to the church house and get out of the world? They're settled on their lees. They're settled on the things that really don't matter. Things that we will discard later. So these men are, and then they say this, that in their heart the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. God's not going to do anything at all. It's all good. And there's a lot of people that say that. Well, there is no God. Well, I beg to differ with you. Well, you know, there is a God, but I'm good enough. I'll make it to heaven. Well, no, you won't. And that's even what's going on in the nation of Israel. There might have been a time period where things were doing this and things were doing that, and God said, I'm going to have to judge this. I'm going to have to judge this. I'm going to have to judge this. And that's mercy and long-suffering for you and I to get right. Here in verse number 13, therefore their goods shall become a booty. This is an old English terminology, the pirate booty. In other words, when Babylon came in and Hezekiah showed him all the gold and the silver of the temple, he was showing the enemy what they got to look forward to. And believe me, the enemy will melt that down, and that gold and that silver, they'll melt it down, and now they become wealthy off of it. The very thing, maybe some of these idolaters were worshiping gold and silver, and we've seen that in materialism of our world. We're inundated with advertisements constantly, are we not? For everything. There's always something out there, and in our phones are listening to us. I can bring up something about golf, and then later on, I might be looking at this or that, and a golf advertisement come up. If I'm mentioning fishing, the other day, Brother Mike Carson and I was talking about some fishing stuff. And I kid you not, it was a couple hours later, my phone showed me a few sales on some fishing gear from the Sportsman's Warehouse. We're inundated with that, and what happens is now we become worshipers of that. We've got to be cautious. The judgment day of the Lord is mentioned here many, many times. Verse 13, therefore their goods. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. Now, I've been preached about this for 51 years. Has it happened yet? No, it hasn't. Is it coming? Absolutely. That's why you've got to study the Word. And I thank the Lord. I've been corrected lately in the last 4 or 5 months in that there's a lot of places in the Scriptures I know I'll never completely understand. But that's not God's fault. That's my fault. Now, I do understand that this is a holy book. This is a book of infinite knowledge from an infinite God. I understand that. And my little pea brain is going to have a hard time wrapping itself around some of the truths, principles, practicality of the Word of God. I understand that. But who am I not to dig? And keep digging. Do you ever get into a passage and you quit? Man, I can't understand this. And then you want to go off to another book, or you want to go off to there. No, what you need to do is just sit down, look at your verbs, look at your nouns. What's the subject of the sentence? What's the preposition doing here? What's the adverbial phrase? What's a participle doing? How is this working? Okay, so how does verse 1 and verse 25 relate? How many times in the Word of God do you have bookends? Let me give you an example. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house. We know that passage really well. But what's the book into that? Well, verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled. He mentions there how that I will give you peace, not as the world giveth I you. Let not your heart be troubled. Having those bookends help me understand those 27 verses together. Then those 27 verses help me to understand what they're doing in the upper room of chapter 13. And chapter 15 and chapter 16. Listen, it's one thing to love God, but it's one thing to show your love for God. How do you do that? Does anybody remember chapter 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's a full-time. No, that's 3 full-time jobs. Hello? Anybody got this Bible figured out? There's some of y'all that have been in the church house for a lot longer than I have. I've been around 51 years. Some of folks been in 70 years. Some folks, 60 years. Have we got it all figured out? No, we don't. And that's where the great day of the Lord is near. Will I see it? I don't know. I'll either die because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I know that the death is coming. But I got to live till I get to that expiration date. Or I will be alive when the coming of the Lord comes. But what will this world be like? And I'm kind of glad when there are folks that have passed on that I know in my loved ones that know the Lord Jesus. Dad, Papa Norman, he's not hurting anymore. My dad, not hurting anymore. Brother Joe, I mean, there's so many people that I've known over the years that have gone on with the Lord. Pastor Charlie, he's still running and shouting. There's just a lot of things we got that to look forward to. So one of the two are going to happen. Now, in the day of the Lord, which is a totally different day from His return. His first return for the church, the rapture of the church. That's next on His calendar. But what is going on here? He's mentioning some things that we ought to be cautious of. Some principles. Some things that we can apply to our life. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It's a warning. He even mentions, and hasteth greatly. Well, it sure don't seem like it. That's why people will get the idea of, oh, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to do any good. He's not going to do any evil. It's just what it is, and we can live life however way we want. You know, many times in the Bible, it break my heart when people did that which they thought in their own heart, that they thought was good, that they thought was righteous, that they thought was this, and they thought was that. And there's so much of that. So what is the day of the Lord? Well, he mentions it in verse 15. I'll read verse 14 again. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men that they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And of course, we know that beautiful truth from the Old New Testament. Once I was blind, but now I see. We sing that in Amazing Grace, do we not? And that's what the Word of God is there for, is to give us the eyesight that we need. Eyesight by faith. Eyesight by grace. And now we are, and a lot of times you're blinded. When you are in sin, you are blind. Blind, deaf, and dumb. You're not listening. And by the way, according to Galatians, faith is by hearing. It's a hearing faith. It's a listening. It's a focus. It's a discipline. He mentions, I will bring distress, verse 17, upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Dust. Don't you usually sweep your house? Dung. Don't you flush that down the toilet? It's a waste. But he's saying here, that's the day, the day is the day of the Lord. It's a day of desolation, complete destruction. Now, if you're saved today, thank God for the truth that's preached from cover to cover. And once you're saved, you're always saved. There's no way to get unsaved. But again, it goes back, if you're going to live in sin, there's destruction. Sin always kills. Sin kills. Sin kills. Are you listening? Sin kills. A child that's being very rebellious, I don't care what age they are, that relationship is broken with the parent. Same goes in Christendom, in the fact that with sin in my life, what's my relationship with God like? How high do your prayers get? Does it ever feel like when you pray that they just get to the ceiling and they're done and they don't get any further? Well, you wonder how much sin is in my life, how much rebellion's in my life. Because a lot of times we will ask God for forgiveness, but we'll go back an hour later right back to the muck and mire of our sin. God cleans us up. God refreshes us. God restores the fellowship, and then later on, an hour to 2 hours, sometimes even 10 minutes later, you're back to doing it again. Now, I will tell you this, that's a product of not studying the Word. Because the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Very, very simple point. Psalm 119 is all full of that. What does the word of God do? What does the word of God do? What does the word of God do? It's a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Now, with that, so we see complete destruction. Verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. I get a kick out of it. Whenever they talk about how much a politician or a sports player or any of these others, how much they are worth. It is amazing that someone that makes $127,000 a year is worth over $400 million, and yet they want to gripe and complain about the billionaire and the millionaire. What is that? Well, that's the same thing that you and I will fall into line, because that's human nature. And human nature loves its gold and silver. I mean, we have the Ebenezer Scrooge in our world. And that's even in your heart and life at the same point. This is encouraging to note, because God's showing mercy right now, whereas in this day of the Lord, I mean, read on in verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. God's jealous? I had somebody tell me, because God's jealous, He's sinful. Jealousy can be both righteous and unrighteous. Envy is always unrighteous. Jealousy for His children. You have a jealousy for your children. What is jealousy? Jealousy is, this is mine and you're not going to have it. Whereas envy says, you've got my $10. That's mine. I'm coming to get it. When it's not. That's what envy says. Envy says, I want what you got, and I'm going to come take it. Whereas jealousy says, this is mine, you're not going to have it. God is a jealous God, and He's righteous in that jealousy. And I'm thankful for that, because I am His. And I know He's going to fight for me. Matter of fact, He already did. You all realize that. The Lord Jesus already fought for you. And He already won the war. Now, the battles are where we struggle at. But in that war, He's done won the war. So He's showing mercy in that. But here we see the long-suffering of God coming to an end. Devoured by fire of His jealousy, for He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. He gets rid of them pretty quick. Speedy riddance. It's not a one or two here, but all at one time. What do we see here? Well, the judgment of the day of the Lord is what we're seeing here. Now, with that, we can also apply that in our Christian life. He will get rid of whatever's in the way of you and Him having fellowship, having a relationship. In 19 years or plus, in 40 years of preaching, it's been about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about a scriptural, real relationship. Not a be around Him when you want to idea. It's not just a visiting with Him. But it's sitting in the secret place of the Most High. It's abiding and dwelling. It's enjoying that. Yesterday was a good time together. It was good to see folks here. Dr. Locker came in. And others came in. Sister Sharon, she's flying out Tuesday morning for Romania. Come in. And there was other folks that came in. And I noticed all the meals at one table. Oh my word. Well, I know there was some foolishness and shenanigans going on around that table. There was others that came in that I had seen, and my question, I'm very serious about this when I say this. Do you know all who was here yesterday? Have you met them? Do you know their first names? Now, I'll get names mixed up. When Bob's wife came in, is it either Brenda or what? I'm gonna go with Brenda. You know what it is? What's that? His wife's name? Leah? See? And that's wrong. By the way, how important is the first name to you? Bob Wayland is Brenda. Oh, would you just sit there and be quiet? I knew Leah, and when she had come in, the point is, we don't know a lot of first names because they're not important to us. They're not important to us. If I say, I'll say Ray's twin, okay? Does that help you? Poor Bob. Bob had walked in, though, and it was so good to see him. And then Sister Brenda come back behind him. And she doesn't get out much now. They've had parents to care for over the years. And they're, you know, neither one of them you saw together very often because one was always helping a mom or a dad. And so, but it was great to see her out yesterday. I said, well, it's so good to see you out. She said, it feels good to be out. And then when Leah came in, and the daughter, can never remember the daughter's name. Huh? Anna, okay. So my whole point to that is the day of the Lord, do folks know that this is coming? Do folks know what the righteous thing is? The Word of God will change. Well, I'm not a very personal person, or I'm not this or that. You get in the Bible and study it for a while, it'll change your personality. It'll take a boring preacher and make him a good one. It'll take a a very quiet preacher. I know my whisper is louder than most people's voices. That's a gift. I was built for that. You have been too. Your problem, and beloved, there's a real day of the Lord coming. There's a real complete destruction coming. There will be no mercy in the day of the Lord. No mercy. And I tell you, even the believers will get caught up in the judgment. But I am so thankful that God's going to take care of us. We die. We just go on and to heaven's glory. So I've had people get on me about that. Paradise and heaven. Call it what you want. I know it's not hell. It's not the lake of fire. It's everywhere that the Lord Jesus is. Friends, I'm looking forward to that. People can argue and debate over all that they want, and it's silly. But to know that I've got that future ought to cause me to know, by knowing this future, to befriend a few people and give them the gospel. You know, there's some people you can give the gospel right now. There's some people you give the gospel over time. Then there's some people you pray and you give the gospel, pray and give the gospel. You don't know what happens on their deathbed. My friend Chris right now, been praying for him. And he come in yesterday. And he would never walk into this church. Just in the last year and a half, he's been coming around, eating dinner with us, things like that. It's a testimony. There's a day of judgment coming. And believe me, friends, the lost person, they know it. They know it. It's just willingness to see that they're lost and they're in need of the Lord Jesus. Because, you know, the world tells a man that you're a wimp and a sissy. You're a sodomite. You're a queer if you follow after the Lord Jesus. And those juvies, some of the first things I would do, we go into a new place, I would mention to them, I said, A real man loves flowers. A real man loves mama. And a real man loves the Lord. How do I know that? Because I seen it. As I was growing up in an old-fashioned church where there's World War II vets and Korean vets and Vietnam vets, where I saw military men that were man's men, farmers that were 6'8". Brother Joe Hummerkaus's brother, I can't remember his first name, but he was 6'8". I'm telling you what, his arm was as big around as my waist, I think. He was a huge man. Brother Joe, about 6'1", 6'2", and another brother. These are big men. And boy, believe me, I seen him how he tamed horses, how he would break horses and stuff. And I don't know if y'all knew this or not. A horse is a pretty big animal. And there can be mean. And I remember seeing that great big man's man at the altar crying out and asking God to make him better. Beloved, at the day of the judgment, there's complete destruction. There's no mercy. And let me say to you, there's no more long-suffering. Now, thank God he's long-suffering. He would not have that any man should perish. And according to 2 Peter, that all would come to repentance. Do we need Zephaniah? Absolutely. Do we need Habakkuk? Absolutely. And I challenge you today to get in this first chapter and understand the warnings, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, because right now the world is seeing that. Well, the gas price is this, and this problem over here, and this problem over here, this war over here, and this thing over here, and this thing, No, it's still long-suffering. God still gives every man and every woman a chance. Father, thank you for Sunday school, and I pray it's been a help. May we understand that the day of the Lord ought to be just another reason to live the gospel and give the gospel and study this Bible and pray each day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.